That is extraordinary.
You don't know the answer to that question, and I think you are an ostrich. Well, your head must be in the sand. Is your head in the sand? Are you flexible enough to get your head in the sand? My suspicion would be no. I can, you can't.
Another flick from Sanchez. And now Walcott, who can run away from the blimp, trying to buy him a bit of time. Ozil, two! It's splendid from Arsenal. And the ball in behind Damian Vardy!
Hello and welcome to Where Was the Shout? I'm Mark Carlo. I'm joined by Zachary Stevenson.
Hello.
And Robert Ransom.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year indeed. This week we're going to be talking the Premier League's weekend results, our 2015 awards, of course.
Have we got trophies yet, Mark?
Medals.
Medals.
We're not quite there yet with trophies. We got them from the
charity shop and we're posting them to the respective winners.
And then at Super 6 as well, lads, which we haven't done for a little while. We haven't really been together, have we, now?
Christmas came upon us before we kind of realised it, didn't we?
Yeah. Christmas. I'll tell you what, I'm quite glad to see the back of Christmas. I know it sounds a bit humble, but I'm quite glad to see the back of it this year.
I love Christmas, but I hate it. It's a bit like a family member, isn't it? You know, you definitely hate them. All family members. I don't know.
All of them.
I should say, how was your Christmases before we talk about football?
It was very nice. It was very nice. We didn't watch as many Christmas films as I really would have wanted us to.
Did you catch Home Alone 2? That's what matters.
We didn't catch Home Alone 2, no. See, there you go. That's a prime example of why it wasn't perfect. You know?
Yeah. I didn't see Home Alone 1.
And we did It's a Wonderful Life. And we didn't do an Indiana Jones film. We put one on, but then... got sidetracked.
Well, New Year's Eve, I stayed in and didn't have a drink for the first time since 1996.
Really?
Jesus.
Yeah, quite proud.
And how was it? So what did you do? Did you sort of watch television?
Yeah, I was watching Jules Holland sort of bugger around. You know?
Brilliant, yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, I used to watch the Clive James thing. That was always exciting.
Oh, yeah, Clive. Is he still about?
I think he's got dementia, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sad end of the story.
Yeah. So I think it might be difficult to get him to do a New Year's Eve roundup.
He'd
be talking about things that happened in 1976.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ridicule dementia. It's just maybe we cut that out.
And how do you celebrate your New Year's then, New Year's Eve?
I don't want to talk about it.
No, you mentioned this before a little bit. I show you were DJing, wasn't you?
I was DJing, and it wasn't at the club that I'm involved in. It was a different place.
Yes,
and it wasn't good.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Yeah. Happy New Year.
The club that I'm in, emptied out.
It was that we were 6-0 down after 20 minutes. Nambuka was swinging, but because we went there afterwards. But this place was
dead.
Yeah. Six people.
Anyway, moving on swiftly then, football.
Yes.
Yesterday's results. So I'm going to start with, I think, Manchester United. Mm-hmm. I think it was quite a key result for them yesterday. 2-1.
I think it's the kind of result which just... It's the most weird ambivalence I feel right now as a United fan, because I really like Louis van Gaal, right? And I think if he was 54 and he was planning to stay there for a long, long time, I would give him as much time as he needed. The fact is that after next season, he's going anyway, and you've got two potentially top managers, Mourinho and Guardiola, who are either available now or going to be available in a few months' time.
Mm.
So, is there any point in hanging on with Van Gaal? You know, Rob, I don't know what you think, but
I do agree with you. I think, I did see a change in them. Did you watch the Chelsea game, Chelsea midweek?
They played well, United,
and it seemed there was a change in style. It was 0-0 draw again, but seeing that he sort of let the shackles off a few players.
Look at the quality they've got on the pitch. Mata, you know, he's a top.
I just think maybe Van Gaal has changed a few things now. He said they're a bit more open yesterday. Mm. They're a bit lucky, weren't they? But they got the result. And with results comes confidence. And then if you're playing that attacking style, you've got a couple of results behind you. So
I mean, they're not having the worst season. I know they've had a bad run. December is pretty horrendous. But they're not having an awful season.
Well,
they're fifth.
Zach as a Man United fan, he's seen them get rid of all their decent attacking players. So not all of them.
Pretty much, most of them.
You know, young ones have gone, been sent out on loan. Got Hernandez, who's banging goals left, right, and centre.
He's gone. He was sold.
What a mistake!
He's always a top player, wasn't he?
And he loved Man United as well.
Yeah, he did.
He really loved the club.
Why'd you get rid of a guy like that? I mean, Di Maria obviously was just
Yeah.
He's just giving instructions that he obviously didn't like. You know, you've got to let that player like that run the pitch a bit, haven't you?
And Wilson's knocking him in for Brighton now as well. Yeah. I mean, Wilson, I know it's Championship, but still.
Yeah, but Wilson would have been given more of a go, I think, under someone like Ferguson. Yeah. Same with Yanezai.
Yeah.
He sort of got discarded after having a pretty good performance at the start of the season. So all these weird decisions. And they haven't been scoring goals, so you've got to point the finger at the manager, haven't you? Yeah. So what you're doing.
Yeah,
you
and now, after all those players he's gotten rid of, he dropped a hint the other day that he's in the market to buy a striker in January. And I think, why have you gotten rid of all the strikers then, Louis? And I don't know, it all seems a bit too little too late to me. And it's like he's not going to be around for that much longer. He's not looking at United as a long term thing, because he's he'd be 66 when his contract ends.
Actually, the decisions he's made haven't been in the long term, like what Man United should be doing. It's been sort of short term, got to get in the Champions League.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think, if you think about the purchases of Depay and Martial, I mean, Memphis, I'm really not sure about him. I mean, I think
he's a bit hot and cold, isn't he? Sometimes he looks quite amazing.
Way more cold than hot. I mean, if he was banging in two goals and winning a game and then having three games where he's doing nothing. But instead, he's having three games where he's doing nothing and one game where he just plays a little bit better, you know.
Mm.
It's not even, we're not even getting the benefits
what
of that.
What was the fee for him?
25-30 million, something like that. He was top scorer in Holland last year, and he's been playing for the Dutch national. Yes, there is,
And sometimes it does take a while to adjust. I mean, we'll talk about Arsenal later with Ozil, but I mean, that's a prime example.
I don't want to completely monopolise all show at Tottenham Manchester United things, but I don't think we've done it much since we started this show.
Well, no, it's big news.
And it's big news. I think with Memphis, it's like, I think he epitomises the modern footballer who really, he has to make himself the headlines, really. And he's trying everything. I mean, he'll have a shot from 35 yards when he's got three men in the box, and he'll do a little back heel. And all these back heels, you know, some of the back heels.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of these players, they want to be Ronaldo.
They want to be Ronaldo, but like, he's not Ronaldo.
But they're not.
All he's got to do is get the ball to the bloody box and get some more assists, and his stock would rise. And everyone would say, oh, there's more kids will have Memphis shirts on and stuff like that. And he can wear, you know, one gold, one silver boot, or I don't know, a gold boot, a diamond boot, and I don't know.
It's just weird. The style of play, just to finish it off on the subject, it's just this pedestrian style of play.
Yeah.
They've
had Man United,
is it? Put this attacking side together.
Yeah. Right? And Man United are known for attacking force team. They always have been.
And you have to respect traditions, because
you can't come in and go, I'm going to change the whole philosophy of the football.
And the thing that made me, as I say, the ambivalence was everyone was going on about, oh, that was a great improvement last week as Chelsea. 0-0 draw, and you got one shot on target. Right. And that's our improvement.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that's our improvement,
it's not Man United, is it?
Nothing,
and let's be honest,
you know,
so they're saying it was Chelsea, but Chelsea's, we know, have
a
horror
Chelsea
season.
I mean, you know, Chelsea were 18th in table. Chelsea were 1 point above the relegation zone before us today, you know. So
we'll see in the next few weeks. I would imagine.
And even yesterday, we were 10 minutes away from a 1-1 draw at home to Swansea. Nothing's really changing, really.
That one in, that would have been good.
Yeah. I mean,
quite an incredible goal, though, really, wasn't it? The goal.
It was absolutely just amazing. Fantastic. One of his best goals for United, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But let's face it, it was lucky, wasn't it? You know, I mean,
I was pleased for him.
He's had a bit of a nightmare season, Mooney, isn't he? He's just not.
Well, he was out for a while, wasn't he? I mean, he was out for a month or something, and he's only scored, I think somebody made the point in 2015, Steven Gerrard scored as many Premier League goals as Wayne Rooney did, you know.
They always do that.
I mean, I know, but like, it shouldn't happen. If you're a striker playing for Manchester United and you've got two league goals in the second half of the season, I mean, come on. It's just not, I don't know. If he wants to play in midfield, give him a number four shirt and, you know,
it's
fine.
Not a bad shout.
But like, just don't have him up there, you know, masquerading as a striker, you know. It's like, my feeling is,
like this season, what's your,
I think Martial is going to be one of the absolute stars of world football over the next 10 years. And I think he's starting to show, he scored two in the last three. And I think he's going to be, for me, he's the new future for United. He's I don't know, he's Cantona and really rolled into one. I don't know. Maybe I'm too much hyperbole there, but I really rate the guy, you know.
Yeah. And what about your season finish then? What's your sort of, at the moment?
I think they'd scrape fourth. I mean, that's what I think will happen.
I think that's a good shout. Yeah. I think that's fair enough. I think the team is what we need to talk about. We've done, I think, a credible title challenges and probably favourites really are Arsenal this season. They're actually looking the business this season, aren't they? I know was a tough game for them because Newcastle, I know they won 1-0, but Newcastle seriously parked the bus and made it quite tough. I think you're right
when you say the business and the fact that they had that horror show against Southampton and they've come along with two championship type winning performances, a gritty 2-0 against Bournemouth and then a 1-0 against Newcastle. You look at any team's championship sort of winning seasons, you'll see those kind of results.
It's true, but I feel Arsenal could win it, it's their best chance for a long time, but I don't think they've improved at all from I just think this is a bizarre season. I was going to say if they win it by default, I don't think that's fair. If you win a title, you deserve it, don't you? But whoever wins it looks like
they're
7 or 8 games this year.
That's a good point.
I still think City will win it, to be honest.
I think they're the favourites. The media are saying Arsenal are favourites. I don't think that suits Arsenal because I thought they bottled it yesterday. Really lucky. I mean, Cech saved them, didn't he?
That's a good point. Some great saves yesterday.
They did grind it out, and Zach's absolutely right. You have to win those type of games. You're going to win the title, but I think they're wobbling. I've no doubt about that, they got smashed at Southampton, lost to West Brom about four weeks ago, and that's a match, it could have been
it could have been 6 or 7 by all accounts. I mean, Long hit the post and some of the chances, and
it shows they're still a weakness there, they are fragile, they've got some great players, Arsenal, but they are fragile, you've said that word before, they lose more away games as well, don't they, but Ben City are doing their best of throw away last night against Watford, I mean I know they won, wasn't it 2-1, but they really did, they got set out in the end, they're definitely going to lose, and then you sort of thinking, well that's why they had on the title for Arsenal.
I think with the City, their problem, I know we're jumping out the gun here, but it's City, but it's the loss of Company. Every time they seem to be losing, their defence is so wobbly without him. Yeah. And he's pulled up again, isn't he? He came on for, 15 minutes, something ridiculous, and he's pulled up again.
And it's ironic, because I think last season he wasn't at his best at all, was he? I don't think Company is the same player he used to be. Well, but even then, he's the best they have.
He was superb at the start of the season.
Yeah.
He's just so injury prone, though, isn't he? He's just got serious issues.
That Mangala is a shambles.
I don't understand how he cost so much. I think he cost him like 40 million.
It was 32, wasn't it?
Yeah. 32, was it? Oh,
I think this is the, what this, a waste this, of money. This thing, I think I've mentioned it before. This is what's happening. Like, I don't think anyone can defend properly at the moment. This is why you're seeing all these outrageous results.
It is a weird season.
I always like to bring it back to sort of more philosophical, bigger view kind of things, because I think the art of defending is dying a death because of the glory of football and the personal glory that players want. And it's like, as youngsters, far less kids are happy to be that solid centre-back. They want to be a centre-back that goes up and scores goals and goes and runs and blah, blah, blah. And I think the art of being that sort of solid central defender, the solid right-back, solid left-back, it's not as desired anymore, you know?
It's not just the centre-halves. I mean, you've got full-backs these days. Gary Neville said it recently. He said full-backs these days, they want them flying forward, which is not great. He said, but back in my day, it was about stopping the opposition winger from getting across.
Yeah.
So the ball came in from the left-hand side, Ferguson would be going mental at me. Yeah, far as letting that come in, and that now it's sort of like, oh, don't worry about it. How many jobs to go flying forward?
How many goals did Gary Neville score in his night career? I think it's about 3 or something, you know.
And you probably say he's the best right back in Premier League history,
wouldn't you really? Consistency, performance
week after week, he was the man, wasn't he?
But that was in an era when defenders remember that they were defenders.
Ivanovic was supposed to do, you know.
I think as well, it seems this season that what's been lost in the Premier League for some reason is the home fortress side of the game. Yeah. I mean, like, Stamford Bridge is nothing like it used to be. Old Trafford's nothing like it used to be. Anfield, even. You know, a lot of teams are going to these grounds and thinking, we can get a result here. That never was like that. Yeah, Everyone used to go park the bus and think, if we get a draw, that's a remarkable result. Now our teams are going there and go, we go to Stamford Bridge and win.
Teams have just got promoted, they're going to these places.
Yeah, thinking, why not? You know, they're vulnerable. Everyone's looking nervous.
It is the crazy season. I mean, I still sometimes think I'm going to wake up and realise it's June 2015, we haven't started yet, you know, it's just mental, isn't it?
Looking at the league table, I think it's going to start sorting itself out, that top six, in the next 5 to 6 games.
Yeah.
And you'll see, I think Leicester are sliding now.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Leicester, I mean, well, they drew at City last week, which obviously, I mean,
that's a credible result.
That's a credible result. I mean, but then they drew Bournemouth and at home, and you think, okay, that's early warning signs, isn't it? That something's not.
I'm scored in three games.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah. The confidence slightly dropping it out. I mean, I'd really hope he keeps. You know, they do get back to winning. I'd love to keep him up there.
Vardy has had a brilliant year, but if he scores as many goals in the second half of the season as he has in the first half of the season, I'll donate my heart to medical science. You know. It's just.
Yeah. Tell you what, though, he looked good again last night.
Yeah, but
he's there all the time.
And Mahrez, I mean, really, obviously, a very exciting player as well. But you have to imagine that teams are going to start sussing them out very soon now. I mean,
I think they have been underestimated. Mm, and now I think teams are going to start thinking, well, we're going to set up a bit differently.
I mean, yeah, I keep referring back to that game at the King Power Stadium where. The United match with the 1-1 draw a couple months ago. They just seem so ordinary to me. And United, who seem even more ordinary, you know, probably going home disappointed they didn't win. But and I thought, how is that team knocking six shades of shite at everybody else? It's like, I don't understand it, you know. I
mean, well, they're just taking their chances, isn't they?
Yeah. Don't they?
I think that's the thing. I think
once your confidence is high, isn't it? Everybody seems to fall for you.
That is the thing. It's like, I think people forget about it. And it seems churlish to say it, but Leicester have been lucky as well, you know.
Mm.
I mean, they've been good and they've done what they need to do and they've taken teams on. They haven't been afraid, but they've had no bad luck either.
And and they've had the rubber of the green pretty much in every match.
That can't last the whole season either, you know.
No. Another big result yesterday was West Ham. Fantastic, beat Liverpool, two wins on the spin. We're up to fifth or sixth, I think now.
You must know the answer to this, Rob. When was the last time West Ham did a double over Liverpool?
I think it's 1963 or something.
Yeah,
like
it's
53. So when they won the last time they won at Anfield, they also probably.
No, it's a bit later. I think it was 67.
But it's incredible. And we've deservedly beat them twice.
We've had a lot yesterday at times. I think we deserve to win it, but.
Definitely deserve to win it. Because Liverpool didn't really create. Let's be honest, that many chances yesterday. And I'm still not convinced of them. I know Klopp. He's got a lot of work to do there.
Get rid of him.
But he's got a lot of work there to do, hasn't he, that club? Because they're nowhere near
the championship. To me, Liverpool. Yeah. I mean, what epitomised yesterday's game, actually, was West Ham's first goal. Antonio chased back down the right-hand side, got in a tackle. It might have been a foul, actually.
Moreno
stayed down for about a minute.
Mm.
West Ham went up the other end. Yeah. Antonio got up, ran the length of the pitch, got to the back post, so he's run about 150 yards or more, and headed it in. Moreno's still lying around the floor, but he's not even injured. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not good enough.
If you're not injured, you're left back, and you're on the pitch, you get up and you run back.
Yeah, that shows us something quite
well. West Ham did that to him all afternoon. They kicked, you know, shite out of him, to be honest, physically.
No, I'm really pleased with that. And I'm going on to Liverpool, I don't really know where they're going to end up this season. I think they'll be lucky if they get in the top six. Very lucky. I don't think they're looking that convincing.
Well, he's just got to get his own players in, Klopp, hasn't he?
It's going to take a couple of seasons at least. Yeah. Again, yeah. I mean, I think he's a young manager and he's one of the best around. I think. I don't know. I think managers are often too hyped up as well. But I think I think you can easily be a bad manager. But I think. No, maybe it doesn't take that much to be a good manager as long as you're not just a head case. It's like
he's a bit of a nut job though, he totally loses the plot.
What I'm saying is I'm taking forever to say nothing here, but anyway, what I mean is, like, I just think there's too much hype in all aspects of football, and I think, oh, this manager is a genius, this manager is an idiot, and the next minute the same manager was an idiot is a genius, and then later on the manager was a genius is an idiot.
You're referring to Sherwood, aren't you?
I'm referring to everyone, really. Sherwood is an idiot, yeah, but like, I don't know, it's all so fickle, and it's like, you know, I mean, Klopp, a couple more months of results where he's losing, and then all of a sudden Klopp would be an idiot, and it's like...
This is Liverpool fans, though. I'm going to slag them off here. I'm going to say what I think about some of them. Do you know what I mean? They overhype people all the time, that club. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
He comes in, he's like the Messiah. Like,
yeah. He needs to get his own players.
He's putting pressure on him, actually. He's putting massive pressure. This is not his team. he's obviously got his certain way he wants to play. He's got a load of players like Benteke, who I think is very good, but he doesn't, clearly doesn't want him there.
No,
he won't, no. Doesn't want to run in behind. That's what he wants, doesn't he? Wants
ball. He's a funny player, Benteke, because he could be so brilliant, yeah, but he's just so, he's got a bit of a lazy edge.
If the manager wants a totally different style, then he's not his man, is he? Mm. And he's trying to sort of get players that not really part of his style of play to play in it. It's going to take time.
I think that's a club that's going to be very busy in the summer.
But I think Benteke's psychological aspect of Benteke's game is very important. You know, he's like, if he's not in the mood, he's not going to do anything for you, and you're better off taking him off at half time in that respect. And if he's up for it, you could score a hat trick against Barcelona.
Play,
you know what I mean?
If you're going to play, if you're going to pick him, you've got to say, right, when we get the ball out wide, let's put the ball in. Let's not sort of work it backwards, blah blah, or play into the channels, get the ball into him. It's devastating. And that's not long ball football, that's playing good football and just get it into the last third out wide and get it in. Someone who's an absolute brute, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. But that's the thing about Benteke, he's got the physical attributes. He's you know, he's got pace because he's a big man, he's got long legs, and he can outrun on players, and he's strong. But he's also got tremendous skill as well, you know. I mean, some of the goals he scores are actually really skillful, you know.
He's not just like Andy Carroll. He's actually not a footballer himself, but you can see Carroll sort of kick or volley from 30 yards at Benteke.
Well, you can see him whacking it in but I think Benteke can like just curl the ball into the corner from 25 yards, and the goal he scored against United at Old Trafford, you know, it was 3-1 defeat, so it can maybe got forgotten about, but that was a stunning goal, you know.
I just find it confusing him because he's got such a good opportunity at the moment to play at the level he should be playing at. I mean, let's be honest, at Villa he was, you know, he kept them up on his own, didn't he, really? Yeah. You know, without him they were lost. And, you know, when he got this opportunity with Liverpool, I really thought that, he's going to be smashing in 25-30 goals.
He got two winning goals last week.
Yeah, he's not doing too bad, to be fair, that's a good point.
He's just a bit hot and cold. He definitely doesn't fancy him, he doesn't want him. No. And yet again, Liverpool spent £30 million on a player that doesn't fit him. Did it with Andy Carroll.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They spent £60 million. Benteke's going to end up going for 20 million if they get rid of him. That's 10 million again.
Well, I don't know, because I think Benteke could still go up another level, you know. I think a big club could come in for Benteke. Whereas I don't think Carroll could go any higher than Liverpool, you know.
No,
Carroll's suited to West Ham.
Yeah,
I've got to be honest.
Well, Andy Carroll himself.
Great impact sub for England if they use him.
Well, he's been brilliant for us this season, really. He's had a good season.
Yeah, he's a decent player. And
no one's better than him in the year.
One of the biggest handfuls in the Premier League, isn't he? You know.
Yeah, and when he's on form, it's like he's a nightmare to control. His goals he scored for us this season have been fantastic.
Look, we're using our noddle at the moment, West Ham. They're knocking the ball around. It's fast, furious, great attacking play. Got Payet back and Zini on the ball. Midfield, great to watch. Get it wide and they sling it into Carroll. Not just slinging it in, it's like that second goal, Noble whipped it in.
It's precision, yeah.
Beautiful football down the right. Precision cross. You're now in better, in Europe probably in that position than any Carroll. With Liverpool, just give the guy time, Klopp. You know, he's not the Messiah. He's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, he's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
He's not going to turn them around in a few weeks. You know, Liverpool are average side. Very average.
Yeah. I think a club we can safely say who I can't see him turn it around, Aston Villa. I think they're gone. I think they are.
We just talked about this earlier. Rob says we're going to mention this because you want to make the point about how right you were at the start of the season, because you absolutely were. I mean, I thought Villa... I don't know, I just kind of thought that they would bring somebody else in who would score goals, but Gestede is he even still there? I don't know,
he's not. I mean, you can't get rid of Benteke and bring him in. You can't do it. If that's what you're going to do, then you're guaranteeing yourself to go down.
They got? I mean, they brought Grealish back yesterday, but I mean, I've seen a lot of young kids to get him out of there.
And I think the manager appointment's been a bizarre one. I feel really, you know, that is not a person you bring in to get you out of relegation. He's not used to this league.
You don't know what staying with Cheryl, because at least he's got, you know, what he has got is fight, Cheryl. Yeah. He'll probably knock a few heads together.
Yeah,
he would have stood for this, he would have been going berserk, wouldn't he? Mm. And now, what are they trying to do?
Do you remember when the Bosman rule came in, and we all thought this was going to be the end of transfers, and transfers went mental. And it's like now clubs are trying to out-mental each other with the managerial sackings. It's like, I thought Laudrup was the maddest one. And then there comes along, and then Di Matteo after winning the Champions League.
And he's gone out that week later.
A couple months into the new season, and like, I don't know. There's just there are no depths to which they won't go with
manager. Well, like Gary Monk sacking.
Gary Monk. I mean, what do they think is going going to happen? And so,
first bad run that they had, and they sack him.
I know, it's really disappointing. It's out on the man, isn't
well,
it?
Well, they expect Swansea to be in the top six fighting for European
sport. And he's been involved in that club for, you know, donkey's years.
Yeah, over a decade, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's, you know, he knows the club inside out.
Everton didn't get rid of Moyes, did they, when they had a couple of bad runs? It's fixed up within a year later, they came back again. You know, that's why you do it. You can see the guy was a good manager. Same with Monk.
I mean, the Swansea City thing as well, it's like you think to yourself, right, Swansea City, do they have any players in that squad that are from Swansea? Probably not. Gary Monk, a guy who's been 10-12 years at the club,
that's right.
Shipped out because they're not. Yeah, they're not. If they're bottom of the table, maybe.
What do they expect, though? Yeah, they sold Barney to Man City. They don't really replace him, and then they're wondering where. But the guy was banging 20 odd goals for him. You've got to expect.
He's not a guy who's done well. The guys he's brought in haven't been joking.
No. They've been half decent. They've just had a bad run of results.
It's a bad run.
It just really leaves a bad taste in the mouth for fans, and it's like, what is this our club anymore? You know,
yeah, if that's West Ham, it's one of the guys who played West Ham 10 years and got booted out like that. I'd be disgusted.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a really poor decision by them, and it's not, you know, let's be honest, not really paid off, is it? Nothing's really changed.
In a way, I've got nothing against Swansea at all. I like them, but in a way, when these clubs make decisions like that, you sort of think, I hope they go down.
Absolutely. Because you look at the chairman and think, just for them, not for the fans, but for the chairman, you think.
But it's like
fans don't deserve that.
But the chairman,
Nigel Adkins, wasn't it, at Southampton?
Oh yeah, that was awful.
I mean, I really hoped they went down that season. Yeah. You know,
but in fact, Pochettino ended up being excellent. Well, to be honest, Adkins was doing great. You got Southampton, two back-to-back promotions, then they were sitting nicely in mid-table in the Premier League and sacked him, didn't they?
I think it's really hard because, like, you think there's no loyalty anywhere in football, and there's kind of no place for it in a way, because you're either up for the job or you're not. And if you're not up for it, why should someone let you stay it because you're not? But then I think when it comes to managerial situations, sometimes the man is up for it as much as anybody else, but they just take it away from him, and it's
but if we're going to talk about this, I think we have to talk about Mourinho, because last time we all got together and had a chat, he was still in charge of Chelsea, and he's now no longer there. And I think I'm probably rightly so. I think he lost his job. I generally felt Mourinho was
depends what's happened. See, if the dressing, character, if the dressing room has totally gone, they don't want to play for him, then that is a serious problem, and then someone probably had to go. We don't know that for sure, do we, what's going on there?
And I think Rob's kind of touching on a point that, like, even if he has to go, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's his fault either, because modern football, as I keep talking about, player power has never been stronger. And in the old days, if the players revolt against the manager would get rid of all those players and get more players, and we can't do that anymore. Because you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds worth of talent, and it's like, at the end of the day, if someone's got to give, it's going to be the manager. And the buck stops with him, all that stuff. And Chelsea's slide has been unprecedented. I mean, I've never, no club that's won the title.
No.
Remember Leeds, even in 92, they were an awful season.
I know, like, Hiddink's come in, and I know he's well-liked at Chelsea, but I've not really seen much of an improvement, really, in them. I mean, like, they've picked up a couple of half-decent goals, but they're not really looks that menacing, have they? I mean, it's not like they've had a major turnaround.
Well, the first game they won 3-1. That was before Hiddink actually took over, and they went to United and managed to get a 0-0 draw.
Okay. But I think they were relatively watching that game. Man United deserved it.
I still think that sacking a manager a year after he's won the title is quite ridiculous. As far as the chairman, I'd just hang those players out to dry.
I heard that Abramovich went to speak to the players after.
Of course, no, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's
it. But I think it's just easier, isn't it, for them? What do you do? Do you get rid of the whole squad and bring in?
That's what Abramovich said to them.
Would have been two or three poisonous players.
I know, but I think
I don't know who they were. There's no point speculating.
Why can't you sack a player?
£40 million.
Why can't you go and say, I've had enough, you're not performing, you're out of club?
£50 million.
Because they lose any money that they could get for selling him.
And these other clubs, say Pierre Schier, think we can get him cut price now, he's not happy, he's got to go anyway.
They've
had to get rid of him. If they made that decision, they'd try and get him for, 30, 40.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the legal sort of ramifications would be for a player. If a player got sacked by a club, would, I mean, what would happen then? I mean, would he be ineligible to play for another club until his contract ran out or something? I mean,
Bowyer got sacked by Leeds and West Ham just signed him, didn't they?
That's yeah, correct. Yeah. So that's the thing. If you look at it in the way that a sacking would work in any other sort of business, you're sacked by somebody. You can go and work for anybody else as long as they won't employ you. A lot of people won't because sacking's a bad thing to happen to you. But
yeah.
Footballers, you know, I mean, he could rape his grandmother and and some other club will still play him. I mean, you know, it's just there's no depths to the scumminess that footballers are capable of, and some clubs will put up with, right. You know, I mean, it's just, maybe that's a bit much, but yeah,
it's brilliant.
You know what I mean? It's just
I do see where you're coming from.
I mean.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows what Chelsea could have done about it? It just seems to me that how can the dressing room sort of be that severely fractured by it?
I think it's down to
him. They know he's a serial champion.
Yeah, but I think it was down to Mourinho that their fall was something really was wrong with him this season.
There were other aspects to it. I mean,
he was continually slating Wenger, wasn't he? Every point, every time he spoke to the media, he was slating the media.
Stopped being funny. It just got nasty, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. He seemed to fall out with everyone. He's felt his players, other managers, the media.
Pretty much
the only people he was quite polite to was Chelsea fans.
I said before on the show is that he tries to create this siege mentality. Right? Everyone's talking about him. And he feels it takes the pressure off the players, and they just get on with the job. But I think this time it's backfired. That everyone's got on his case, including the players.
Yeah.
Right? And then they had that Eva Canero thing, and it was just, that's it. It's just the whole thing's gone to pop.
But I think the funny aspect of it, though, because Mark, yourself and myself, we went down to BT Sports.
We did.
A little while ago, about a month ago. And it was around the middle of the time that Chelsea's slide was still pretty bad. But Mourinho came in, he seemed cool, he seemed still in control, he didn't seem like he was losing his mind. And I thought, oh, he'll probably get more time.
Because he was gone about two or three weeks later.
He was gone, But so. I think they lost the next two games again, didn't they, or something?
Yeah.
Did you see, by the way, when West Ham beat them a couple of weeks before that, and he got sent off into Ernst Land? And then the director's box next to Danny Dyer, he started filming it when he saw his moment.
Yeah, I did
see
that.
Danny Dyer just goes, "Someone's got the ump." Puts a mobile phone right in his face.
Oh, brilliant! So that's one of my memories of the same.
I must have tested in that.
Yeah.
So, 2015 awards.
Yes.
We're going to start with player.
Obviously. Well, one thing before we start, we got to consider these awards are for the year and not just this season.
That's a good point, yes.
So we have to consider whatever happened in the second half of last season.
Yeah.
We'll try and remember that as well. Because
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been
I struggled to remember that a couple of weeks ago.
So for example, Nigel Pearson could get manager of the year for saving Leicester from relegation.
That's a good point, yeah.
Well, for example, Tim Sherwood definitely won't.
Poor old Tim, So player, I have to say, I think, unless it's a bit obvious one for me, but Jamie Vardy, I think, has got to be a player. He's just been brilliant. You know, coming from nowhere and to be scoring the goals he has been this season and, you know, even last, but I think he's just a brilliant player.
Well, you see, for me, I've got him down for another award later, and it's not twat of the year. It's not twat of the year. So I think on that basis, I think Mesut Ozil has got a good case as well, because I think he's the most assists, and he's just a stylish quality guy.
I was thinking of him on the train actually.
He's an example of the kind of quality of calibre player you want in the Premier League, and I think my vote's going to go to Ozil.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Same for me. But
yeah, he's probably most improved, isn't he? Unbelievable.
Arsenal, over the end of the year, saw would be champions. It was just 2015, quite away, 10 points. He won the FA Cup. He was instrumental. He's been brilliant this season. For me, it's him. Barley's obviously got to be spoken about.
Yeah.
As does Mahrez for this season.
Yeah, definitely. I think you've got to say, Arsenal's title chasing season that they're having at the moment, I think a lot of it's down to him, isn't it? Without him, I think they'd be really struggling.
Yeah.
And he's kind of showing his quality throughout the season, isn't he?
I mean, I think there's other goal scorers, Giroud's had a good year, hasn't he? And Harry Kane. But I think Ozil storms it for me.
Yeah,
most assists, isn't he, this season? I think he's only got a record this season.
He's starting to knock in a few as well, isn't he?
He's a glorious footballer. I mean, I do understand why some people gave him stick, because he
last season he was pretty average.
He went through a period, didn't he? He had a bit of a lull, didn't he? He had a good start when he first joined, and then
I just I always feel you can set your team up and you can allow a player like that just to sort of do what he wants, you know.
Just roam and do, yeah, do your business.
Eventually it will pay off. Yeah. It really has done.
Mm.
You know? Any club would want it, wouldn't they, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, we're saying then player of the year. So then, I think Ozil, yeah. Scott Ozil, yeah. Okay, manager of the year. What are we thinking then? Oh, you're thinking Sherwood, aren't you? I know you are.
Right, well, it's such a weird one because the manager of the champions has just been sacked. So where do you go from there?
Well, then Venice, you know, won the
FA Cup. Hiddink gets
it's
my
not going to be Pellegrini because City have flattered.
I think it's a split decision. Right? Okay. I think it's split, and Zach touched on it. I think it should be shared between Nigel Pearson and Claudio Ranieri.
Mm. Yeah. That's a good point, you know. I mean, you know, he did do a brilliant job, Pearson.
It was miraculous. Escape from relegation, and there's been a miraculous surge to the top of the league.
And if it wasn't, for that miraculous escape from relegation, Ranieri would never have been given the opportunity to take him to the top of the Premier League. So it's a joint effort. I'd go along with that actually. Ranieri and Pearson
share the award.
We'll have to get an extra medal.
The other thing is, I mean, because of that, Leicester are obviously a team of the year, aren't they? Because of what's happened.
Well, this is our next one as a team. I mean, it kind of goes in, and Leicester are kind of dominating this really because it can't be ignored, can they? Like, it's hard to
team of the year.
It's been unbelievable. I mean, as you say, so I think we're quite. I'm in agreement with that in terms of split that for the managers. I think
so. Let's Pearson, write these down.
Yeah, we're going to forget those, aren't we?
Ozil.
We've got to find out their addresses to send them their mail. Yeah.
I'll just send them to the club. I'll just drop in a letterbox and I'll be and then parcel on the way to a.
We'll send them a signed shirt as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
Pearson and Ranieri. We'll have to post that one.
And team, so we're saying, I mean, already, it's Leicester, that's boring, but I mean...
Well, it has to be Leicester, doesn't it? I mean, literally, I mean...
Arsenal, obviously, like, could we touch on how many points they've got?
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be Leicester, what they've done, it's just ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it.
You have to take into consideration the expectation levels of a team, and then how well they've done in excess of that. And I think there's no question that Leicester have done... exceed their expectations far greater than any other club.
Yeah.
And on that basis, it has to be them.
Yeah, Christmas 2014, Leicester were bottom of the Premier League by some distance.
And we're gone, weren't they?
2015, they're top of the Premier League.
Yeah.
After, I mean, it's just the most unbelievable turnaround in Premier League.
And they're over halfway point now. I think they're second, at the moment.
Yeah.
Arsenal are leading. I mean, 20 games played, second in the Premier League. It's unbelievable. I can't believe it. And I've been expecting the bubble to burst. I know we were touching a bit earlier saying, you know, they've had a couple of games now, they haven't scored. I think it's three games now, haven't they? Yeah. They haven't scored a goal.
So as far as 2015, it was a perfect year for them.
Yeah. I mean, their fans must be in dreamland. I think you're right. I mean, I can't see them being anyone else.
It's a crazy Aston Villa awards thing.
They were
really
close second.
Close to winning the FA Cup then, aren't they?
Well done, Sherwood.
Does that bring us on to
12
of the year?
We've still got goal and hero.
This is a bit of a tricky one, this, because...
I can't remember what goals were scored.
I mean, for me personally, it was, because this is just bias, but Payet against Newcastle, I thought was a brilliant goal.
Yeah,
it was
a lovely goal. Surely there's better goals than that.
It's one that stuck in my mind.
Yeah, you remember
that. Gentlemen, we've just watched the video of goals, because we couldn't remember any goals.
We had to refresh our memories, because it's been 365 days.
Yes.
Thousands of goals, so, I mean, well, not thousands, but...
And you can only remember the really goals that your team scores, you know, and I don't remember.
Yeah, and I remember one goal from 2012, which I thought was this year.
I'm just mentioning Gibril's goal against Chelsea from the sideline, you know, but that was quite a few years ago. So I think we did a little refresh of our memory, and I think have we decided on?
Well, there's two contenders, isn't there? There's Charlie Adam scored from the halfway line, and he, as you were saying, he seems to do that.
Well, I've watched him live a few times, and he tries it every single game, right? Because he wants to get an award like this.
I bet he's really hoping he wins it.
Yeah.
We know he listens. He doesn't ever listen to.
But you can't second guess his motives. Maybe he's just trying to score to win his team the match.
He knew this award was coming up, Zach. Obviously, he's desperate for it.
I think we watched a couple of videos just to refresh our memories, and the one that kind of stuck out was Charlie Adams and Benteke's against United. And I think because of the spontaneity of the one against United.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think that was a fantastic volley.
Yeah. Jack Wilshere scored a couple of stunning goals for England. I think it was against Slovenia. Might have got the opposition.
I think
I think Benteke, that was pretty special.
Honourable mention for Shane Long against Germany for Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, to be fair, that was a, quite a remarkable.
Well, I'd say that's, that should go under great moments.
Yeah.
And Dan Murray's scrambled goal mouth scramble against Shamrock Rovers.
So are we saying it's between Benteke and Charlie Adam then? Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
On that basis.
And who are we saying?
I think we went for Benteke.
Benteke. Oh, Charlie Adam's going to be gutted.
Poor Charlie, yeah.
Poor Charlie.
I know he's an avid listener.
Yeah.
Should we tweet him to say that he lost?
Yeah, exactly. Hero then. Hero of the year.
Only one man. It can only be one man. Come on, you say it.
Shane Long.
He's like Vardy.
It has to be Vardy. I mean, he you know, the most consecutive goals, games scoring goals in the Premier League. He's helped.
Leicester dominating the Wolves. Yeah.
Well, but they deserve it. You know. I mean,
sick of
he
him.
Literally he's a top scorer in the Premier League. He's come from non-league football.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's gotten into the England squad. He's got great hair.
It looks a little bit like a thief, doesn't he? Have you noticed? It looks like someone that might go and rob a shop or something.
But now he doesn't need to, so that's good, isn't it? Football has given him the opportunities in life that he doesn't need to go and rob things
anymore.
So
we're giving it to Vardy, is that it? We're not debating. Is there no one else you can throw in
there?
Hero of the year, yeah, I guess he is a hero. He's got, like Zach said, came from non-league football. It's pretty heroic, isn't it?
I think,
yeah,
it's overtaking in 4 years. Van Nistelrooy's record as well. I mean,
to break that record, to be in England scoring the point we're going to a European Championship, and maybe helping
Leicester
into the Champions League.
Yeah, I think that's a good part. I don't think you're right. I don't think it's anyone else.
It's a one man team, but he has been heroic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As you say, the fact he's come from nothing to be top scorer in the Premier League is quite amazing. Yeah.
And we didn't give him Player of the Year on the basis that, well, my basis was that we were going to give him Hero of the Year.
Okay, so it's Vardy then.
So I think it's got to be Vardy.
Love that.
Vardy. Right. I'm looking forward to this one. Twat of the year.
Twat of the year.
Twat of the year. I mean, there's loads of contenders.
I think we need to watch another video. Find out.
For me, it was a no-brainer for me. I'm the best manager of all time. Look at my win percentage ratio. Tim Sherwood.
He was a classic.
I got us the FA Cup final. Look at me. I couldn't have done it.
And by the way, they were woeful in that Cup final. They were absolutely awful.
They did do well getting there. Yeah. It's just the way he talks to them.
John Carver as well.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I feel a bit sorry for him. John,
I know, Carver. But him saying that he put himself up there with any manager in the Premier League, let's just talk to
a
bit of derision.
Yeah.
I mean,
just think of like ridiculous comments from people.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Nigel Pearson, Pearson, you're an octopus.
Pearson, you're a twat.
It would be
Nigel
amazing.
Nigel Pearson is right up there. Definitely
from Nigel Pearson to win joint manager of the year and twat of the year.
He's a twat, isn't he?
He definitely is a twat. I mean.
Didn't he try to like fucking murder James McCarthy?
Yeah.
And
strangle him on the touchline. Reporter.
If you think about it, I think considering that he did so well with Leicester that season, then he seemed to get himself fired.
Because he's a lunatic.
Because he's mad. And I think.
And a twat.
In my opinion, I think it's got to be another word for Leicester.
I
think Pearson is.
I think Mourinho needs to go up there as well, though. I mean, to get yourself sacked after winning the league.
Yeah,
but he won the title. The first half of 2015, he won the title.
Then he had a mental breakdown. He did a Pearson.
But you see, again, we talked about how we don't know what's really going on at Chelsea, and is it even his fault? We don't know. Whereas, I think there's no question about the fact that Pearson, through his own actions, manufactured his own departure from Leicester City. So. He's my vote, I think.
Okay, I'm agreeing with it.
Leicester City storming it. Maybe.
Storming it, but that's probably one that they don't really want.
But then,
but still,
what Tim Sherwood has done to Aston Villa. Well, they're on the slide anyway. They were
definitely on the slide.
Who was manager? But I mean, he finished them off, didn't he?
So we're saying it. I think you're right. Pearson,
Swansea chairman. I don't know.
Swansea, yeah.
Yeah, he as well.
Let's just get a load of medals and send out loads of twat of the year awards.
Pearson wins twat of the year. So that's a round up then. Player Ozil and manager, we've gone for Pearson and Ranieri. They're sharing that medal.
Yeah,
we'll have to buy another one. And team Leicester, which I think there's no brainer. Goal Benteke, which is, I think, is correct. Brilliant goal. Hero Vardy.
Yeah,
and then twat Pearson.
It looked like you've been in Pardew there.
I look like a pony. It's my.
He's actually been quite well behaved this year, Pardew, hasn't he?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because it's about twat of the year.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything that twat. Yeah, like, no. The year before.
No,
because the year before that and before that.
yeah, he's actually doing well, isn't he?
He's Pardew. Twat of the decade, but not twat of the year.
Pellegrini, sit down, you old cunt.
That's bad.
That's a banger a few years ago.
I'm telling you,
You have to take that.
For saying that to Pellegrini, he should get Hero of the Year.
Haircut of the Year for me.
That was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Pellegrini. So we're going on to our Super Six.
Super Six. FA Cup special, mate.
I'm going the weekend.
Well done.
Yeah. It's funny because normally you'd say with the FA Cup, all the form book goes out the window. But that's been happening in the Premier League this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
I just hope everyone plays strong. Their best sides. You know what I mean? A lot of these teams play their bloody reserves and it's really in the competition. But I'm pretty sure West Ham will have a right go.
I'll go for it this year.
Yeah, really,
Let's kicking things off then with Arsenal versus Sunderland. I can't see an upset here from Sunderland. I think Arsenal are looking pretty good, and I think they'll take it seriously as well if I got, because they defended, they won it 2 years in the spin.
Not many teams have won it 3 years in a row,
and I think they'll like to do that.
I think it might never have happened. In fact, I'm pretty sure
maybe
it's
a very
never
unlikely
happened.
Double might happen for the Arsenal this year.
They'll go for it. They'll want that third. They'll love to do it 3 years in the spin, definitely.
Or treble. Imagine if they won the Champions League
Yeah, let's be realistic here though.
I'm going to go with straightforward win. I think it's going to be 2-0 to Arsenal. Zachary,
2-0 Giroud Ozil.
Okay.
Definite Arsenal win. I'll tell you the main reason why, because I know Sam Allardyce, Sunderland doing a relegation scrap, and he will write off this game. He won't want to play the under sevens. You know what I mean?
He's not going to risk anything. This is not a priority.
He will not risk any injury. He will just go, forget this. They're going to go to yard. Arsenal will rest players as well.
Yeah.
If Arsenal hit the bar 15 times in 90 minutes and it's 0-0. I advise score an own goal so there won't be a replay.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So that basis, I totally agree. 2-0.
You're in 2, we're all going the same. 2-0. Okay. That's good for you, Rob, because you're actually leading this now. You're on 29 points. I'm on 25, and Zach's
18,
mate. You've got to play out the bag.
11. I only need 4 correct
scores.
That's
right. You'd like to go for an outrageous couple of predictions, though.
Well, you're up next, and this is your beloved Manchester United, who are hosting Sheffield United.
You say Rob or Zach?
Me.
I know you love Man United as well, Rob.
Are they playing?
2-0.
Sheffield United, West Ham's favourite.
1-0. 1-0 United.
1-0.
Yeah.
They're a good team, man.
I just don't score goals
Sheffield United got a little history of upsets in the recent years, haven't they?
I
might get a draw here.
Do you reckon draw?
Yeah.
Wait, in what way? What's the score?
1-0.
I think they'll definitely have a go.
Have to.
Why not? You're right. I've got a feeling they're going to go there and score. But I think it's going to be a United win. I'm going to go with 4-1 to United.
Yeah, I don't normally sort of make predictions like that. That shouldn't happen, but I just got a feeling.
First time United scored 4 this season.
Yeah, I've got a feeling they'll do it. Yeah, I think they'll beat them. Southampton versus Palace. Southampton have had a funny season, aren't they? And this is you, Rob, starting this, by the way. But
Southampton Palace. Well, I can't see any reason why both sides won't have a go at this cup competition. There's no way Southampton will go down, even though they haven't had the best of seasons. That's not going to happen. They're still a good side.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to start resting players. And Palace, right up there in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Pardew, knowing very well, definitely have a go at the cup competition. It's hard to split those two, isn't it?
It is.
I reckon could be a good 2-0.
Yeah, 2-0, yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with an away win here. I think Palace are going to go
good
there.
Good away,
result.
Aren't they? Very good away.
Yeah, a good away side. And I worry about Southampton. They're a funny team. I mean, they're not going to go down or anything.
They asked for 4-0 a week ago.
But they're just so hit and miss, aren't they?
They lost to us and then Norwich yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's mental, isn't it?
They're having a very bizarre season. I've got a feeling it's going to be 2-1 to Crystal Palace. What about you, Zachary? What are you thinking?
Well, it's a cup. And I think Southampton on their day can be very good, and they're at home, so I'm going to go 1-0 Southampton.
1-0 Southampton, okay. Who's this now? Hang on a minute, it's me, isn't it? West Ham Wolves. Well, you're going at this, aren't you, Ben? I think we're going to take this seriously this year. I think we've got to go for it. I don't see why. We're not in any danger of going down.
Perhaps the strongest side.
Don't really take this seriously this year, and I think why not? I think we'll win comfortably. I think we're going to win 3-0. You watch, we're losing.
I think you're going to win 5-1.
5-1, really?
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant.
Yes, it's great for Rob, the last. Well, I've got tickets because it's obviously our last year at the bowling ground. And I've got my dad a ticket, my brother's. It'll be the last time us three all go together.
Oh, bless him, that'd be good. Well, fingers crossed we'll get a good result.
Yes, I hope so. But I don't think Wolves are that bad, actually.
It's a tough game. This cup fight. Well, it's like 5
then. They'll win it, though. They'll win it 2-1.
You're in 2-1, yeah?
I'm 3-2-1.
Zachary, this is quite an interesting one. Wickham versus Aston Villa.
Okay.
This has got cutbacks that ran over it.
I mean, I remember Martin O'Neill has managed both sides. Bit of pointless trivia.
Throw it in there.
Sure, I mean, why not go for 1-0 Wickham?
1-0, I agree.
Just don't think. I think if Villa played themselves,
where's this game at?
You know.
Where's this game at?
It's Wickham. At Wickham. It's a nightmare draw for Aston Villa.
What are you doing, though?
I don't really think it matters.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care. Yeah.
This is you, Rob. You're just making a decision here. Wickham versus Aston Villa.
It's just got it written all over it, hasn't it? What a horrible place to have to go when you're struggling that badly. Going to a lower league side, it's going to be bouncing, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
Have they got the bottle? I don't know. Watching them yesterday on the highlights.
I think they're going to lose
2-0.
You're 2-0, yeah. I'm going to go with the same goal difference. I reckon it's going to be 3-1 to Wickham.
Jesus.
I reckon they're going to do it.
It's just getting worse and worse.
Something maybe, but you know, I can't see it happening. Right, Rob, this is your last one now. Watford versus Newcastle. Premier League side.
It's a good cup tie as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's going to be quite exciting.
Well, yeah, again, I mean, well, Watford definitely going to go through, aren't they? Surely.
And Newcastle's so fragile.
Newcastle will be interesting what they do, because will they rest players? I mean, they might do. Will McLaren do that? Start leaving? I mean, Newcastle fans love the cup. I think they'd be fuming if he did that, you know?
Yeah, they want to start the
situation. But, I mean, I think Watford will beat them. I know it's a shame from last night. They should have beaten City and ended up losing it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think Newcastle might leave out a few players and Watford will win.
2-1. 2-1. I like it. I'm going to go with also a home win. I think Newcastle are so fragile. And I can't really... And I think Watford have been really impressive this season.
They have, yeah.
Really decent. I know the FA Cup doesn't mean... Yeah, there's all the rules go out the window, really. But I do fancy Watford. I'm going to go with 2-0. Zachary.
Yeah.
The last prediction.
I think you have to...
It's the first of 2016.
Yeah.
Loving it.
I think you have to go for Watford, I mean.
Yeah, they're another team... Newcastle don't have a lot of bottle at the back, do they?
Yeah, they're
some
nervy.
Good players,
yeah.
You get into someone like Vicarage Road.
Like you say that word quite a bit like Arsenal, but they are a fragile club, yeah. Newcastle, aren't they?
A lot of these top teams are at the moment. They are fragile.
Well, I'm going to say 3-1.
3-1 Watford, yeah?
Yes.
Excellent.
I just remember years gone by as a West Ham fan going up to Anfield, Stamford Bridge. Man United, just having the fear of God in me. Although we have pulled it off on occasion.
Oh, very rarely. But
now it's
used to go there thinking that hopefully not get hammered.
Yeah. But now it's like everyone's thinking we've got a shot everywhere they go, everywhere.
Mm.
Even at Man City.
If we had Newcastle away, I'd expect us now to go there and win, not to go there and hopefully we'll get a 0-0. I expect us to go and beat these two teams.
It's a change in psychology, isn't it?
That's brilliant for the league. I love it.
I think Leicester giving everyone that, there's that belief that
you
can beat anyone
now. It's really an amazing season so far of my living memory. Yeah. So. As I said, I still think I'm going to pinch myself and wake up and it's June and season hasn't started yet, but obviously it has.
I hope Leicester keep it going, but now as a West Ham fan, I'm sort of thinking, well, if we're going to do anything special this year, it's going to be finishing above Leicester and hopefully a European spot, if we did do that. But that's 8 points, a long way off.
It all depends on whether or not this crazy season does sort itself out or not, because there's a chance it never will. There's a chance it'll stay there till the end, because half of it's gone now.
There's a chance Chelsea could win 15 games in a row,
do you know
what I mean? I don't think there is really,
but I bet it could happen.
But they could come back to get up
top four, maybe.
Top four, the way other teams are playing.
So tight, it only takes a few wins and you're up there. Yeah. Anyway, gents, that's it. We'll be back next week for another episode. Yeah. But everyone, thanks for listening.
Watch this bat channel and this bat time. It's not Batman, it's the Where Was the Shout? Sorry.
I always
mix those two
up. Where Was the Twat?
Yeah. All right, cheers for listening. See you then.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.